Glad that we could welcome this gentleman. He is the OSSTF president and a man who made the decision that a walkout will happen Wednesday, December the 4th for secondary school students in Ontario, Harvey Bischoff. Hello, Harvey.
Good evening.
Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Kathleen.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us tonight. It's been a very busy day. I'm sure you're besieged by media requests. We're glad that we could finally have you on. Walk us through the decision, pun intended, to that walkout.
Sure. Last week we issued notice that we would be taking some very limited withdrawals of service, so some administrative actions that would have no impact on the student learning environment whatsoever. And we were coupling that with what we called information pickets, but it was, it's essentially community outreach because we weren't slowing down access to schools or anything like that. We were just distributing information to parents and the general public. We got to the bargaining table yesterday and today. Today we were bargaining on behalf of my teacher members. We also represent support staff in the province. But today at the table for my teacher members, the government came with not a single proposal. So, we had indicated our impatience with the process so far, 7 months after serving notice to bargain, well into a semester in which students have lost access to courses and are in overcrowded classrooms. Support staffs have been laid off, and the government didn't come prepared whatsoever. So it was clear to us that we had to raise the pressure.
So when you say come to the table completely unprepared, is that literally the sitting down with an arms folded type of mentality whereby it's like, we're here, but we have nothing to discuss?
We asked them, do you have a proposal to make? They had absolutely no proposal to make. After yesterday with my support staff, which went not a whole lot better, it was clear that they weren't taking the process seriously.
Harvey, can I just ask, because we've been talking about a couple of things. First of all, can you talk a little bit about the way the minister is framing the changes that they've made, say, in the class size numbers and the online learning? He's framing them as concessions, and I've been making the point that they're not concessions because they're actually just rollbacks of decisions that were made before bargaining even started.
Well, that's exactly right. So they announced back in March that they wanted to eliminate one out of four high school teaching positions in the province. It would result in an average class size of 28-1. Unilateral announcement. At some point, they moved to table a position of 25-1, although they tabled that along with a totally offensive position that there would be no class size maximum language allowable in any contract. But last year, the average class size was 22-1. This year, the average class size is 22.5-1, and it's already caused chaos in the system. And they want to keep increasing the average class size over the next couple of years to a total of 25-1. Kids are already in classes of 40 and more, can't get access to courses they need to graduate because teaching positions have been lost. And we have the exact parallel with the e-learning. Right now, there are no mandatory e-learning courses. They originally announced four, and now they're saying two mandatory e-learning courses. But again, that's not an improvement. That's still an erosion of the quality of the system. The minister points to Alabama, 49th out of 50 in U.S. education quality as his model.
Yeah. I got two other questions. And the first one is, mediation. So just clarify for me, there has been mediation at the table. So what's the difference between what the minister's offering now and what you've already seen, and will what he's offering make a difference?
Yeah, so last week, the minister at a podium at a press conference, instead of at the table, proposed mediation. We accepted that offer immediately. We had a mediator at the table within 24 hours. This is a person appointed, comes from the Ontario Labour Relations Board, a long history at this. For some reason now, the government is proposing some other independent mediator come to the table. Right now we have a mediator who costs the government nothing additional as an employee of the ministry. This supposed fat trimming government now wants to pay tens of thousands of dollars to some outside mediator. I guess they haven't gotten the results they wanted from this one, but frankly, that's not how mediation is supposed to work.
But would you be open to that? Would you be open to a third party mediator if it looked like that might make a difference?
I don't know why it's even being proposed, the issue at this point. We have a highly experienced, skilled mediator at the table, and you know, she was mutually agreed to. Nobody imposed that mediator on the other side. Mutually agreed to, and now they want to go elsewhere and pay additional, government money in order to do that.
Now, there's a public perception, Harvey, that it feels like for the average person, and they're calling us and telling us this and telling me this at 7:10:10, so I'm not just making this up. It feels as if we're continually at war, that being government and the teachers' unions. While it's not every 3 years, it certainly seems that perception is that it's that way. How does it feel on your end?
Well, here's what I would say. We've been certainly nonpartisan when it comes to defending the publicly funded education system. So whenever a government tries to raid education funding lines, we have defended them, whether that was Bob Ray, Mike Harris, Dalton McGuinty, Kathleen may remember that, or this current government. And frankly, the current incarnation is the worst that I've seen in 30 years in education. I mean, their proposal to eliminate one out of four high school teaching positions, who could possibly think that that's going to be productive in terms of education quality? So we're standing up to defend that work, the work of our support staff who work with our highest needs and at-risk students. And I can tell you, as an educator, I'm not embarrassed to defend the publicly funded education system. In fact, I'd be embarrassed if we didn't.
And Harvey, I mean, you know, this has been, obviously the minister has said this over and over and over again, that there have been fights with every government. And you and I have had our own conflicts. I mean, we did. But I guess I would just say, it seems to me there's a qualitative difference among the discussions, right? I mean, you say in 30 years you haven't seen this. I've never seen a government basically bring in their proposal months before bargaining even starts and not even give the unions and the federations a chance to negotiate.
Well, this is exactly right. So absolutely true. You and I had some pretty significant differences of opinion.
Heated discussions.
Civil discussions.
But we were always engaged.
But we had some significant differences. Yeah. I had no doubt that you were supportive of publicly funded education. That's different now. And it's different because this government has already unilaterally imposed these cuts. They're not proposing them at the bargaining table. They started the cuts this year. Cuts to teachers, cuts to support staff that are already negatively affecting students. They unilaterally impose legislation to cap wages and take that away from the creative problem-solving process that happens in negotiations. So, no, this is a very different approach to bargaining. They're the ones who have imposed unilateral cuts and then tried to leverage the student educational experience against the bargaining table in a way that I think is unconscionable.
Harvey, I have about a minute left. I have to ask, when teachers strike, obviously they're receiving strike pay, a lot less paid by the union. If we head towards a strike, how are your members going to feel going into Christmas and having those bills pile up in the new year?
Yeah, well, it's tough. I mean, taking the decision to go on strike is not easy, and it's not without sacrifices. And so why are my members willing to sacrifice? And the reason is because they work every single day face to face with kids who's they're trying to give them, those kids, the best shot at the future that they can possibly have. To some extent, we could just go and bargain for compensation and benefits. We don't, because my members insist that we bargain for a high-quality education system.
OSSTF President Harvey Bischoff, thank you for talking to The Rush. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you both.
Thanks, Harvey.